You're listening to a message brought to you by Christian Life Church Hereford. If you would like to find out more about us, go to www.clch.cc.
Today we're doing a youth service. So if you are over 17, you are allowed to stay if you want.
Thank you.
Okay. But it was really good to have my friends over here. Yeah. Was it okay to come to church today? We're getting there, yeah. Okay, got it, yeah. Yeah, I have great friends over there as well, yeah. For me, it's the most beautiful people in here, okay? But anyway, really good to be here. It's a privilege to be here. As you know, my name is JP. On behalf of my family, it's really good. Paula, she is starting her 37th week of pregnancy, so we have a few weeks left to go, and she decided that pregnancy is easy, so I'm gonna be anemic, and I'm also gonna get sinusitis because it's not already not sleeping too well, so she's at home today, resting a little, taking antibiotics, but God is good all the time. Amen. All the time, God is good, and I want to share with you today. You know, I learned not to be afraid of preaching. I loved not to be afraid of sharing because you don't need me to have a good message. I used to be really worried about the message. I used to be really worried about, my goodness, I need to go there and I need to share something. And how good is it if by the end, people they say, wow, that was a good preaching. But I learned not to be afraid of it because you don't need me to have a good message. I'm not responsible to bring to you a good message, because if you want to have a good message, the only thing you need to do is open your Bible and all the best messages are over there. So I have no intention to bring a good message to you, because you don't need me for that. What do you need me for? There's something you need me for. There's something I need you for. I can't have unity with the body through the Bible. The only thing. That's why I need you. And that's why, my friend, I'm sorry to let you know, but you need me. Because the only way, Jesus says that when two or three are together, God gets there in his kitchen and says, where is that life and blessing and lives forevermore? I got it now, and now they are together. I'm going to pour out upon them. So you need me, and I need you. And that's the beauty of I am, what I'm trying to do over here. I'm not trying to preach. I'm trying to make connections. I'm trying to produce encounters. I have no intention to be on a meeting. I have the total intention to be producing encounters. We are bridges. We are connecting one to another. That's the heart of what I am here today. And it's interesting, the identity. I'm going to be sharing a little bit. Yeah, I have the time over there, but I'm going to share in a little bit. It's good to see you, my friend, visiting Hereford. Yeah, Malcolm is here today with us visiting Hereford. Woohoo! We're missing you. It's interesting. We were talking, and I said to Dan, I am short in a way trying to make a bridge between Matthew 28 and the next series we're doing, which is Isaiah 61. It's interesting how we need to understand who we are and our identity. Because, have you noticed, if you read the Bible, Luke 10, Jesus goes and he sends 72 disciples. So they were sent. And straight away in Luke 10, straight away, so it tells the story of Jesus sending them and says, if you go to a house, declare peace. If the peace is not received, it's going to return to you. So he gives all the instructions to the disciples, and he sends 72 disciples. And straight away in the same chapter, it tells a story about the Good Samaritan. And I don't know if you ever noticed the story of the Good Samaritan, but I love it. And I've been eating it a little. Because the story, and that's not what I want to read, but the story of the Good Samaritan tells a story about a man who was from Samaria. I don't know if that's how pronouncing in English. Samaria, thank you very much. Who was walking down from Jerusalem to Jericho. And he got muggle, stole it, and then someone beat him to death. And he was left over there, apparently looking like a dead person. And it says pretty much, and I think that happened near a church. Because what are the odds to have in the same road a Levite and a priest walking? So I believe that happened near a temple or something like that. So it says that a Levite walked by, saw that thing, and then moved to another road and started walking again and left. It says again, after that, a priest did the same. Saw that Samaritan, saw the man, and stepped aside and walked. And then it says that a Samaritan saw and did something. And you know what amazes me about this story? Because the first two characters on this story, were introduced and were identified by their occupation. Of course, by their occupation, it means that they were from one of the tribes. They were there, they're supposed to be, because they were Levites and they were a priest. But they were identified not as someone from the tribe of Judah, but they were identified in this story about their occupation. Levites and priests, they were responsible for the service of the temple. And it says that these two men that were identified in the story by their things they could do, didn't stop. But suddenly, a man that is introduced to us by the place where he came from, stopped. Someone that you know, and it's brilliant because the story of the Good Samaritan, when he talks about the Levite and talks about the priest, doesn't say why they didn't stop. Usually when I read that since I was a kid, I used to judge them and say, do you know they didn't stop it because they were bad people and everything? But the story itself doesn't say it. They say they saw and they didn't stop it. But maybe they had reasons. Maybe they had a pregnant wife, 35 weeks pregnant, needing them to go home quickly. If they didn't get there on time, they would be in trouble. Maybe they had a lot of reasons. Maybe they didn't, I don't know. The story itself doesn't say why they didn't stop it. The story says that two people who were identified in this story by their occupation didn't care to stop. But someone who were from a place, the Samaritan, was identified as the person who stopped. So we need to be awake this morning, because the things we are doing for God, not necessarily, are making us good. But what makes us good towards others is the understanding of our identity, our origin, where we came from. We came from God. We came from God. You came from God. I don't know if you realize that, but your identity is not the occupations you can do. You are not good, Hannah, because you are great, worship here, singing everything, because that's amazing. And our works, they reveal who we are. They reveal our identity. You recognize a tree by its fruit. But what transforms the answer for the society is not what we can produce. The answer for society is when you go over there and you can be the person that God calls you to be. Even those days when you don't know what to do, even if you're identified by your occupation, what answers? So maybe you're a doctor. The answer, the transformation you will make is not by itself being a doctor. It's by the person that is being a doctor. Because that's your identity. And that's what we want to reveal to this earth. Maybe you came to church. If you want to hide, the worst place for you to be is the church. Because we make this confusion. Because God is our safe refuge. Right? So He will always shelter you from the storm. He always protects you because He is the safe refuge. But sometimes we come to church thinking that the church is also a safe refuge. It's a place where we're going to be able to hide ourselves into the storm. And let me tell you something, the church is the worst place if you don't want to be seen. Because the church is the revelation of Christ. So God will make you shine. So the church is not for you to hide, but the church is a place where He's going to put you in front line. Because that's what He does. He gets the church and He reveals Jesus through the church to this world. So if you got here today thinking that, oh, I'm going to be set on the corner, no one will see me, I'm going to be really shy, let me tell you something, you will be in evidence. Because you are the church, you are the choice of God, how to reveal His love to this earth. But we are coming all over here today. I believe we're all coming really broken. I think it's been a tough week. And I remember all the times when I was in bed and quite miserable, poor and everything. And I wanted to complain about something. I would straight away think about Ukraine and said, I can't complain. I need to slow it and swallow it. I need to take my deep breath because I am much better than a lot of people. So I need to take a deep breath, hold on to my pain and keep walking. But when we're going through stuff, we know what we're going through. And I believe that most of us, if you're not, I don't know which planet Earth you're living. Because if you're living in the same planet Earth that I'm living, we are facing storms. I don't know if you are living on Prozac medication that makes you unaware of life. But if you are aware of life, there are storms going on. There are storms going on. And Jesus said that the storms are going to happen. And I want to invite you to open your Bible in Matthew chapter 14, because we're going to read a little about the storm that happened. Each day I'm spending knowing more Jesus, I always find out that Jesus is a little bit crazier than I thought. I don't know if, do you have this feeling? Because when I think about Jesus and the way He taught and the way it goes beyond my understanding, it would never be the way I would maybe teach someone, but I praise God that He's doing the way He wants, because He's always much, much better. But it's interesting to see how Jesus did few things. And we're going to read Matthew 14, starting on the verse 22. So immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of Him to the other side while He dismissed the crowd. And after He dismissed them, He didn't get into the boat and He didn't go for the disciples. He went by Himself to pray. So He puts everyone on the boat of the disciples and say, look, the other side of the water, that's where I have to go. Go! I'm over here dismissing the crowds. And after that, I'm not joining you. I need to pray. And He went to pray by Himself. And sometimes, before we move on, I love that. Because sometimes, because we pray, not necessarily the right prayers, we think that Jesus also did the not healthy prayers. And Jesus, when He went to pray, He was not praying for His own stuff. He was talking to the Father to reveal Him. He was praying for me and you. He was praying for the disciples. He was not praying for a pain on His feet for walking too much. He was praying to have revelation of the Father. And it's interesting because Hebrews says that Jesus was growing and learning through the obedience. So He was learning. He was a process of learning. Jesus wasn't born knowing everything. He was learning each day through obedience. And so He got over here to pray. And when evening came, He was alone, and the boat was already far away. And there was what? A storm. There was a lot of waves and wind, and the wind was against it. Verse 25. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. And they shout out, "It's a ghost!" That's not probably how they shouted. I'm sure it wasn't. But they said, and they were crying out of fear. Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." And then Peter replied, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water." And Jesus replied, "What? Come. Come," he said. Then Peter got down off the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid, and then he began to sink. And then he cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out to his hand and caught him and said, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" You know, one of the most beautiful things about being human as a Christian is the fact that we have doubts. And it's peaceful to know that it's not a sin to have doubts. But it is a sin to doubt. You know, when I come to pray for someone who has I'm praying for healing for someone. In my mind, there are a lot of doubts sometimes if God will heal. But I need to understand how dangerous it is. Because the day I decide that my belief is that I'm praying but I don't think that God can heal, my doubts became my belief. Because sometimes we pray and we think, I'm praying, but I don't know if God can. What I'm actually saying is that I don't believe that God can heal. And then my doubts, they become actually my beliefs. So it's not a problem for you to have doubts, my friend. Anyone has doubts here today? So good that I'm not alone. I have doubts today. I have doubts if I'm leading my family the right way. I have doubts if the choices I'm making are the right ones. I have doubts if I'm going to make next week. I have doubts if I'm going to survive next month. I have so many different doubts. But the day I allowed my doubts to become my belief, I'm in trouble. Because when I come to Jesus, and Jesus said, "Why did you doubt?" Jesus didn't ask, "Why did you have doubts?" But he said, "Why did you doubt?" Because when you doubt, you are saying that you actually believe that I, Jesus, can do something. So I always pray for healing. I will always pray for healing. Do you know why? Because even not always believing that God will heal or not, I don't pray allowing myself to believe that he can't. I don't know in his heart, sometimes why he chooses to heal or not. But I believe all the time, and I tell myself all the time, that he can heal. Because that's his nature. So despite of being in a situation where I have doubts, I'm always telling myself, don't you dare to doubt God. Because his nature is perfect. All his plans will be perfect. Have you ever considered that? That all his plans will be perfect? My friend, let me tell you something. As a Christian, it's impossible for a child of God to fail. We're talking about going, and I want to connect to that. But let me tell you something. It's impossible. You have little Elijah over there. You know that it's impossible for Elijah be a failure. You know, that's your kids, Sarah and Gary. You know, it's impossible that them, as child of God, children of God, to fail. Because tell me, please, which of the plans of God will be failed? We just sung, He's perfect in all of His ways. So tell me, please, if you're concerned about your children, if you're concerned about, I don't know what you're concerned about, but tell me, please, which, the Bible says that Jesus and His body will be glorified. And I don't know if you're the finger, but I'm telling you something, the finger won't be cast away. The entire body will be glorified. So I don't know what is happening. I don't know what is the storm going on. But let me tell you something. You won't fail. Not because it depends on you, but because it depends on Jesus. He is the head. He will always look after the church really, really well. So we always face challenges in the church. We have a leaders meeting. We have... And they always ask, how is the church going? I'm always replying, it's going really well. But we have so many challenges. Yes. But if the minute I allow myself to think that the church is not going well, I'm allowing myself to say, Jesus doesn't know how to look after the church. Because if He is the head, He knows what He's doing. And He knows where He's taking the church. He knows where He's taking you. And my friend, He goes for you. We're reading a story over here of a storm. And you know what happened in the storm? Jesus went for them. Jesus Himself walked towards them. And you know that in our life, sometimes Jesus walks towards us and it feels that it's actually a ghost. Jesus, He walks to us. And we see a ghost. Don't be scared if you sometimes can't understand what Jesus is doing. Because it's possible that Jesus is going towards you and the storm is so huge that actually you think that you're seeing a ghost. And I pray that our eyes will be cleared to understand that it's not a ghost. That what we are seeing is not a result of our fears, but what we are seeing is the result of our beliefs. The one that is going for you, the one that is going for your family, the one that is going for your dreams, is Jesus Himself. He is the one that He decides to walk towards His people. He will walk towards you, always. And do you know what is our salvation on? Obedience. Like I said in Hebrews, it says that Jesus, He learned obedience through suffering. So He had to learn about obedience. And He learned about obedience through suffering. And we don't like to obey. We still believe that Christianity and the gospel and everything is about choices. And the day we feel... So it's brilliant that Tim Pitcher share over here about he was not feeling, because it doesn't matter if we're feeling or not. Because sometimes in our life, we're going to have to walk by obedience. By obedience. Youth, you tell me a lot of things about your parents. We're not bringing this topic right now, but they reveal a lot of things that are going on in your house. And some parents, they are in trouble. But anyway, that's not the topic of today, right? But let me tell you something. Did you ever had to face this? Did you ever ask your parents, like, Mom, Dad, can I go somewhere? And your parents said, no. You can answer me. You're not in trouble if you answer. Maybe you had to face. So when I had your age, there were situations when I would, my mom would come to me and I would go to my parents and say, can I go, please, to the party, for example? And I said, no. So, but everyone is going. And what is the most common sentence the parents tell us? But you are not? Everyone. But we're not everyone. I don't know if you ever had to tell your kids that. My parents, they told me this a lot. And I said, no, you can't go because you're not everyone. Our identity, we learn who we are, not by discovering ourselves. We learn who we are by obeying. It's terrible to obey parents. I know the feeling. But we discover who we are by obedience. You want to save your family. You want to save yourself. You want to save the life that God called you to do. You are going to have to go. Because going is not an option. Going is not. You're going to have. Jesus got them, put them in a boat and said, go to the other side. Oh, a storm now. A storm now. What do we do? Jesus started to walk towards them. In the middle of the chaos, when they saw Jesus, they shouted, it's a ghost! We're gonna die! And Jesus said, don't be afraid. It's me. I'm the one who walks towards you. I will always do that. And I don't know, my friend, that brings peace, because you know what? You're gonna walk on top of the water. Can you turn to the person next to you and say, you're gonna walk on the water? Yes, you're going to walk on top of the water. Do you know why you're going to walk on top of the water? Get to the other side. But you're going to walk on top of the water, not because that's a miracle to happen, but because that's your nature. Because you were made to be like Jesus. That is your identity. You don't walk into waters because it's a miracle, but you're going to walk on top of the water because I don't know how you're going to get to the place where God wants to take you. I don't know how, maybe a dolphin will appear in front of you. You're going to jump on the dolphin I don't know how, but I'm telling you something. The plans that God has for you, they will be fulfilled. Even in the middle of the storm. Even in the middle of the chaos, even in the middle of the doubts, the only thing that you have to stop doing is stop doubting God, because He will make it happen. You want to save your family. You want to save your life. You want to save the purpose of existing. Go, my friend. Because that was not something that God told us if we want. But we save our families by showing them that we're going. To finish, I want to read. I don't know if you can be aware how important it is to go. You are the one. We're going to start reading Isaiah 61 together. You are the one that the Holy Spirit is upon. We were talking about the Holy Spirit in Ross. And I said, you know, I made this exercise to myself. I made this rule to myself that I think, I'm always imagining that the Holy Spirit is here with me. And Paula, when we, on the beginning of our marriage, she used to believe that I do talk alone. But I developed this relationship with the Holy Spirit that I'm always talking to Him. So sometimes I'm in the shower. And Paul is saying, who are you talking to? I said, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Because I am cooking, I'm talking to the Holy Spirit. Because I had to create into my mind, into my heart, a way to understand that the Holy Spirit is upon me. Like it says, if I'm not wrong, in Corinthians, that I am the temple of the Holy Spirit and that He dwells in me. He lives inside of me. So you are the one. You are the one that God will send. And you know, to finish, I want to read together Acts 27, because my word for you, my friend, this morning, for us, is take courage. Take courage, because God will make you get to the place where He called you to. You know, Gabriela, you're going to make to the place where God called you to go. I don't know where it is. I don't know how stormy it is. We're talking on our life group, and we spoke too much, a lot on our life group about provision. And I see a lot of people that they decide what they do according to their finances. And in our home, we have a rule. We do according to the vision. So your job in your house, my friend, is not to understand about the provision. Your rule should be, what is the vision? What is the vision? Because once you understand what is the vision, everything that is provision will be given. Because God is in charge of His vision. He will fulfill it. You make it not because of your own. You're not maintaining your family because you have a work and you have money to maintain your family. You're maintaining your family because you need to have a vision. And then by having a vision, God will provide it, everything you need for the vision. In me, even if it's crazy, to finish out my, I want to read together. I'm not reading, but you can read after. It's in Acts 27. Paul knew that he had to go to where? Paul knew Rome. So Paul knew that he had to go to Rome. That's something that God told him, that he had to go to Rome. And in the end going to the end of the book of Acts, he comes and says, there was a huge what? Storm again. And they were again inside a boat. God is crazy because He loves putting us inside the boat. And just how God does. And there was this huge storm once again. And everyone in the boat were so scared. So scared. Says that the first day they were trying to get rid of everything heavy in the boat. Then the second day they started to throw away with their other parts of the boat. The third day they were starting to use their own hands to get rid of anything heavy. So hopefully they wouldn't hit something. And then Paul comes to them. Pay attention to what Paul says. I prefer to read this. Chapter 27, verse 22. Man, my friends, I urge you to keep up your courage. Because none, not even one of you will be lost. But then he says something interesting. He says, this boat will sink. There's no salvation for this boat. But I don't know how, but I'm going to get to Rome. So you are safe, because I need to get to home, to Rome. You are safe. This boat, it isn't. This road isn't safe. This house you're living in will be destroyed. But the people that live in the house that you live over there as well, none of them will be lost. None of them will be lost. You want to be safe, my friend. You need to know. You need to know where is the goal that God is giving you. You want to have a safe family. I was having a coffee with my friend, and he said to me, we're talking about Brazil, and he said, but I can't go to Brazil because I am really afraid of flights. And I said to him, you shouldn't go to Brazil because God tells you not to go to Brazil. But not because you're afraid of. Not because you have doubts. Because the minute that you establish that I can't go because I'm afraid, you're putting limits on what God can do in your life. Go, even if you have doubts. Take courage. Because you're going to make it to Rome, even if the boat sinks. Because God wants to use you. So I don't know how you're going to... I don't know. I'm not kidding. I don't know if a dolphin will... Because a big fish was used by God to take Jonah to the place where he had to go. Even if he was in disobedience. I don't know how we're gonna... When my parents started social work in Brazil, in our church, they stayed a year without any income, not even a single penny. And one day, my parents had to pay something. And in the service, God told my mom to give all the money of that bill to someone. So she came to my father and said, God told us to give away this money to this person and everything. And my father, him with a great heart, he said, did God say so? Yes. Obey. The other day, we had still the money. We still had the bill to pay. And from nowhere, we don't know who did. The money appeared on the bank account. I don't know, my friend, how you're gonna get somewhere. But don't doubt God. I don't know how many doubts you have this year to finish. This year I'm celebrating 21 years that I pray for Hereford. I started praying for Hereford when I came in 2001. I was 2 years old. I'm kidding. But this year I'm celebrating 21 years that I pray for this town, for the city. And you have no idea how I had no ways to come. I had no ways to come. But I always said to Paula, we were going to go. Because God said so. I don't know how He's going to take us there. But He will take us there. Because God said. So I don't know if I'm going to... I don't know how. I have many doubts on how I'm going to get there. But I don't doubt that we're going to get there. Because God said so. Don't doubt what God can do in your life. Close your eyes. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Because all of us humbly come into your presence with our fears and our doubts. It's much safer to stay. Much safer to be quiet in our own place. But we need to understand that you have protected us in you. And the enemy can't see us in you. Therefore, we are the ones that are ready to go. Jesus, thank you, because you will make everything work in our life. Because you have promised. I don't know where my brothers and sisters are, are this morning, where they are stuck. We left our Egypt. We left the place of slavery. But we got stuck right now in front of an ocean, a water. I don't know how we're gonna cross to the other side. I don't know how we're gonna make it to the other side. I don't know how we're going to survive this storm. But I know that none of us will be lost. Take away our fear. Take away our fear. Help us to have courage. We need courage from you, Lord. We need to be brave. Revelation says that those the fearful, they won't get into heaven. We want to rest on you, understanding that I don't know how we're going to make it, but we will make it because you have promised. How are they going to survive in Ukraine? I don't know. How this situation will be sorted? I don't know. This world is going crazy. And Jesus, you said that those things would happen. How am I going to get with the petrol? I don't know. But I know that none of your plans will be frustrated, Jesus. And I am part of your plans. I am the one that was called. We are the ones who are called to go and heal the poor, and heal the broken, and heal those who are alone. So I don't know how we're going to make that. But it's in our nature to walk on top of the water. So ignite, Holy Spirit, this morning in my friend's life, who they are. In the name of Jesus. Amen.